Welcome to the first sort of in-person podcast that I've been able to do over the last 2 years, really, because of COVID and different things like that. So we're here in Nairobi in Kenya, East Africa, with the Taylors, and we're here just today to chat a little bit about their time, long time at RVA, since way back when. You're going to get into that in a bit of a minute. So I'm Amos Kennedy, the host, and today we have the lovely Taylors. You can introduce yourselves, just tell us a little bit about yourselves, your family, and maybe what brought you to Kenya in the first place, to RVA, and when exactly that was.
Greetings, this is Amanda Taylor, my husband Steve Taylor, and we first came to Kenya in 1993. And we have been here most of the time from then until now. We have been at RVA the whole time, fulfilling different roles there. And we have three wonderful children. Our two sons are in America. They have finished university and are working there. And then we have a daughter who is a senior at RVA this year. And so she was about to graduate and go to university in America. Before we even got married, we both were very interested in mission work, and we had both heard about Rift Valley Academy and about Africa Inland Mission, and just felt the Lord calling us into ministry somewhere, somehow. And back in 1992, RVA needed a nurse and a teacher, and then over the next year, we applied and we came out as short-term initially, and then we stayed longer, and then we have been here ever since.
Yeah, so I think how I came to be involved with the mission is that I grew up in a home that talked about missions, and grew up in a home that that talked about how if people are going to believe in Christ, they have to hear about it, and so I knew that missions was something that was ultimately important for every church. And so I think that that's how I ended up at RVA. I'm a music teacher, and at Rift Valley Academy, and you kind of think, well, what does a music teacher have to do with missions? But when I had the opportunity to partner with so many missionary families, which we'll get into later, but just the opportunities that are presented by working at a school for missionary children, it really was appealing to me. Even before, when I was in college, I knew I wanted to work at RVA. So,
awesome. So it sounds like you had a really clear vision of what you wanted to do before you even came out, which is always super helpful. So I guess my second question is, you both had different roles at RVA over the last so many years, since 1993. So do you want to maybe touch on, Steve, you said you were a music teacher, and do you want to maybe touch on the other roles that you've done, what teaching music at RVA looks like compared to maybe in the States? And Amanda, you want to talk about your roles that you've done as well? I know you're not teaching, but there's a lot of other cogs that turn at RVA in order to make it function.
Yeah, I think that so music teaching at RVA is different in that I teach starting in when they're young in sixth grade, and then I go all the way up through when they finish high school. So I'm the only teacher that they have for instrumental music. I teach private lessons. I also teach the ensembles. And so that's different, whereas if you were teaching in the States or the UK, then you would have private lesson teachers, and you would have exams, and you would have maybe different opportunities for an honors band or something like that, where you don't have those. It's just one teacher. And so that can be a little bit daunting sometimes, feeling like I'm responsible for all of their music education. So I teach music theory, I teach the string ensemble, I teach the wind ensemble. So yeah, that can be a little overwhelming. But I think then the other things that I've also gotten to do is I teach a class in leadership, which is more related to my postgraduate studies. So I teach students about how they can become people of influence. Yeah, that's kind of my main thing. I think the greatest thing about teaching at RVA is I really enjoy that you get to be with the kids when they're little and then sixth grade, and you can kind of carry on with them. You can be a little bit funny and goofy, or you can teach all the way up to the high school seniors, and you're helping them make a choice whether they want to study music, if they want to do a scholarship for university, if they want to, maybe some of my students have played with the Nairobi Orchestra, those kind of things. So it's been a great, great diversity of opportunities there. And then I've also sometimes been called on to teach something as random as, you know, eighth grade history for a term. So wow. I was a history teacher when we had a crisis. So that, yeah.
Love
and
it.
Then I've also been a dorm dad. So we did middle school dorm parenting for 6 years and loved that. Just loved being able to live with the students and hang out with them. Every day, you know, so.
Awesome. So Amanda?
Yes, so in addition to supporting Steve in his band director role, I was always the band mom. So I came alongside him and yep. helped out with any of the logistics that I could with the band program. But I also, we did the dorm parenting together with our own three children when they were little. So we were just one big family with anywhere from 12 to 18 girls who are, you know, between the age of 12 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, I'm a nurse. And so I trained as a nurse in the States before I came to RVA. And so I worked in the student health at RVA. And that operated more like a small clinic. And all of the boarding students and the day students, if they were too sick to go to school, they came and stayed with us in a inpatient little clinic. We would take good care of them. If they had to have an emergency surgery, we would help them through. We would go stay at the hospital with them because mm-hmm. their parents are all over Africa.
Of course.
And so we would take care of them pre-op and post-op. And so we did a you know, the immunization program, and we were like their pediatric office,
mm-hmm.
And just take care of all of them. We'd also do a lot of training with the other dorm parents of how they can take care of any, you know, urgent medical needs, or even just a general handing out Panadol for the headaches and all. So I was in the nursing role for about 20 years. And then I moved, well, 25 years, and then I moved into the admissions director. And so that really opened my eyes to seeing, receiving all of the applications for all of the missionary kids and the Kenyan nationals and the expats who wanted to come and have their children at RVA. And so I read through a lot of applications and had a lot of logistics there to work through. So that has been most of my time.
Wow, so very different, diverse roles, not just sticking to one thing over a long period of time, definitely not mundane in any sense. So I'm just curious, as a music teacher, as a nurse, two reputable careers, why not just have stayed in the States in 92, 93 and had successful careers there?
Yeah, I think that I taught in the States for 3 years. And certainly felt like I had a mission field there, even as I was teaching in schools. They were private schools, but they were not Christian schools. So there was a lot of opportunity there. I think what I saw was that I was willing to go, you know, and I think that that's what it takes to get into missions, is there just has to be a willingness to say, yes, Lord, send me, you know? And so other of my friends who were Christians, Christian music teachers, didn't feel like God had put that call on it. So I think definitely feeling called is significant. I think also just seeing the opportunity that RVA, man, it's just like such an opportunity. You're serving families that are literally all over the continent. And I love that about RBA, that you're serving families who are ministering in really remote areas, families that are doing medical ministry, they're doing Bible translation, they're doing pastor training, they're doing community development, they're doing well drilling. I mean, all these families have to have somewhere where they want to send their kids to school mm-hmm. and get a good education. And so that's why I felt committed that I want that education to be as high level as I can be, helping to create for the students. And it's an incredible, you kind of feel like, oh man, we're just part of a big team. And I just happen to be, you know, maybe more on the sidelines in the background of the team, but while other people are out in the remote areas sharing the gospel to people who literally have no access to the gospel. It's not like in the United States where people could walk down the street and go find a church that would give them the gospel. It's there's no church in these regions where a lot of our parents are working. So that to me has motivated us to stay for so long, because it's such, you see it, and we've had the privilege of knowing so many faithful servants, people who've worked in areas that are ridiculously hot or difficult, maybe insecure for security reasons, you know. So, and people stay there year after year after year. And that's humbling to partner with those people, yeah, who give up so much. So, yeah, I could have had maybe a more financially lucrative career in the U.S., but the dividends for this job are out of this world for sure. Yeah.
Nicely put. Yes, I like that.
Anything from you?
I think for me, yes, of course, I could have stayed in the States and worked as a nurse. As a teenager, I felt called to be a missionary nurse, and that's actually why I ever went into nursing. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord just opened the doors for me to get an education in pediatric nursing, and then when the opportunity opened at RVA, it's really rewarding to work with the students who are not well, and just come alongside them and just. You know, be a connection between them not feeling well and the parents all over, you know, who can't get here quickly when their child needs an appendectomy or whatever. And so it's just really encouraging to be with them and in that way and take care of them. And then my other roles, dorm parenting was really, that was just a blessing just to work alongside the parents and implement things that the parents would want into their daughters' lives and just pour into these girls and these young ladies and just help them get rooted in the Word and just to love Christ and just to learn how to live with each other in a dorm setting. And so it's been just a really neat opportunity.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Yeah, very clear vision of why you're here and why you want to stay. It's just very inspiring. Thirdly, for people perhaps that are listening that maybe haven't heard of RVA, just have heard of it in name only, could you give us maybe a bit of a history on RVA, why it was founded, why it exists? You've touched on its purpose and your roles in that, and perhaps how it's changed down throughout the years as well.
Sure. I mean, it's. I'll give a brief history. So, 1906 was when the school was founded because they wanted to allow missionary families to stay closer together instead of leaving your children continents away. The idea was to equip missionary families, and that hasn't changed. That's still part of our mission statement today: serving missionary families, equipping their children. And so that's really the core of the school. The school exists for missionary families. It is not here for equipping necessarily large numbers of Kenyan families or Ugandan or other, you know, international students. It's here for if your parents are missionaries working somewhere on the continent of Africa, then we're here to serve you. To partner in that service with your family. So that has been the mission for the school since 1906. I think that some of the things that have just changed while we've been there over the last 20 some years is just seeing how technology has changed. The fact that students can now be at a boarding school and every day they can talk to their parents using applications on smartphones, whether it's WhatsApp or a phone call or whatever, that distance between parents and students has really been reduced, which is awesome. But also the social media has definitely played maybe a positive and also a negative role, as it does in every part of culture. So kids can now feel more connected with activities that all their other friends in their passport countries participate in, but they also have to discern what's worth being involved in and not. So it's definitely seen how smartphones have changed. Our school technology has changed our school, the availability of the internet and Wi-Fi and cellular connectivity. That's changed a lot. I think the other thing that's changed is we're seeing a greater international influence. We're getting more and more staff from different countries. It used to be primarily just American staff, but we have a lot more staff that are coming on that are from different countries, which is really cool. It's great to, you know, we have 26 different nationalities represented in the student body this year. So we have students whose parents are, you know, Dutch or German, South African, American, Canadian, Korean, you know, we have a really diverse student body. And so now we're also seeing that diversity really open up in the staff as well. So I think those are some of the biggest changes we've seen in the 28 years or whatever we've been there. Yeah.
Awesome. So. Awesome. That's longer than I've been alive. That's great. Yeah. So for the, you've maybe touched on this a little bit already, but RVA within AIM, perhaps compared to other, what you think of maybe when you think of traditional missions and being out in the sticks and being on the front line with unreached people groups, how is RVA's role within AIM unique in that sense, and how do you relate the school and the students to perhaps those locations? I know that you have trips up to different mission locations in Kenya at least, so how do you kind of get the kids to connect to those places and people serving in AIM in different ways than RVA is?
Yeah, I think that how does, maybe just clarifying your question, how does RVA connect with other aspects of AIM?
Yes, those people that are supposed on those more remote places. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that RVA does have some educational trips that we do in trying to equip students to get out and see what mission work is there. Also, as we have the missions conference, sometimes the conference is held at RVA. That used to be a highlight for Amanda and I. We used to love it when all the AIM missionaries would come in for conference and we could hear story after story about what was going on in the bush. And then sometimes those stories actually come out in my devotions for my class or something like that. Like just seeing God's faithfulness or seeing other people's faithfulness. Being faithful in a community that might only see one person come to Christ after 15 years. That's diligence. And trying to teach my students about diligence, I'm going to use those stories about AIM missionaries that are working in difficult places. How we connect also is just through, we do usually a weekly highlight in church about an unreached people group, and we're usually talking about one of the unreached people groups that AIM or another partner ministry that we might be partnering with, or families that are at RVA, we talk about unreached peoples. And so unreached peoples is at the heart of AIM. And so that's how we partner with that as well, is promoting reaching unreached people groups.
Awesome. Yeah, and I know I was up in Dukana, Northern Kenya, whenever we had a trip of RVA students up there, and they all seemed seemed just delighted to be there and willing to learn a lot from, I suppose, their parents in different locations and comparing that to school and to where they were on that trip. So fifthly and finally, and this is a big question you might have to dig deep about, have there been any challenges or joys in particular during your time in Kenya over the last 28 years, which is a long time, that you can highlight?
I think we briefly mentioned, just the joy of getting to know so many of the missionaries from many different organizations, and just getting to know the students and learning about the ministries the parents are doing all over Africa and what God is doing in the hearts of the African people. It's also been really exciting to see the national missionaries coming up more and more. We have students who they're Kenyan nationals, and now their parents are missionaries in remote areas. Or we have Nigerian pastors who are now preaching and teaching in another country. So it's just really encouraging seeing the whole mission network throughout Africa, and just working with the students in that area.
Yeah, I think one of the highlights for me is I have spiritual grandchildren. You know, so I have guys that I might have mentored or were in my classes, and now I have their children are in my school. So having that, made the commitment for 28 years, and then just seeing how I get to see their kids and seeing God's faithfulness, and that these families are now a second or third, or in some cases a fourth generation serving on the field, is a real highlight, and it's humbling as well. I think that another highlight is just being able to see the church growing in Africa, and seeing what, 20 years ago, how the emphasis has changed, and we're moving towards Africans being mobilized to be involved in missions, and we're equipping them, and they're ready to run with it. I think that's exciting. I think maybe a challenge at RBA is that a lot of staff come for 1 or 2 years. And so the temptation is sometimes, I'm not going to get to know them as well, or I'm not going to pour out relationship because they're only here for a year. And I find that that's a mistake on my part sometimes, because every time I do pour into that relationship, it's always a blessing. And so I think that, the community seems so big. I mean, RVA is different from any other mission station in that we have like 100 people on staff, or 120. Yeah. But it's also sometimes can be really lonely. And so that can be a challenge if you're not intentional about building community and building friendships, because people keep leaving. People come in, stay for 2-3 years, and then they leave. And so you have to be intentional about building quality relationships. So,
yeah, absolutely. God is faithful in just giving you guys the grace to be there for so long, and for helping you build into a lot of students' lives over 28 years. It's just an amazing story of his faithfulness. And it's great to see people who are committed long term. That's effectively almost all your lives, and your kids' lives as well, in one place. So it's fantastic to see, and I'm sure the reaches of your own ministry and people's lives has been extended in ways that you don't know. So that's fantastic to hear, so encouraging, and again, very different to perhaps some of the other episodes that we've done. So I hope that this will be useful, and that a lot of people at RVA and other places, other ministries, parents, etc. will be able to listen to this and get an insight into just how it functions, and how it functions for two people who have been there for so long. So thank you for coming down and meeting me today on a rainy day in Nairobi. Bit of thunder in the background, perhaps you've been able to hear. Yeah. And it's been much appreciated. Great to touch base, and it's been a real pleasure to actually have people sitting across from me in a podcast, and not either on a screen or just on a phone call. So been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share. Yeah.